Morning. Over the last 18 months, I have received a lot of advice on how to protect and guard my heart. It's been really good advice from men and women sitting in this church today, others who are fellowshipping elsewhere, and even some overseas. Today, I want to share with you the best advice that I have been given over that time. I know it's the best advice because it's contained within the Word. I know it's the best advice because it is beneficial, universally beneficial. I have seen others live this out and seen it be fruitful in their own life. Those are their stories to tell. So if you recognize yourself within this, just know that I'm immensely proud and privileged to have walked alongside you as you did these things. But breathe easy that your story won't be told by me, at least. So if you jump with me, we are in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. My Bible says this: "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." I'll read that again. "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." This phrase can be misunderstood. It can be sound like a bit of a Hallmark card greeting. Many proverbs you can read and they can stand alone, but this one invites query and it needs some context. We're given a command to guard our hearts, and we're told why, because it gives us life. From it comes all sources of life, versions say. But what does that mean? Why should I be guarding my heart? What is in my heart that is worth guarding? And how do I do that? So the context for this comes from other verses around it. So I'm going to read now. I'm going to read verse 13 and then jump to 20 and read 20 to 27 from the chapter. "Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life." Verse 20. "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Guard your heart. Sorry, excuse me. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The heart that we are meant to be guarding is a heart that is filled with the word and the wisdom of God. We are not meant to be guarding our heart from hurt and heartbreak. We are not meant to be guarding our heart from being open to loving others. We are not meant to be guarding the sinful desires that we know come from within our hearts at times. We are not meant to be guarding the foolishness that is within our hearts. We are meant to be guarding the word of God that is within our hearts, that we are storing up there, the wisdom that we have been given. The series of proverbs being told over the weeks, we have heard lots of different wise things that we are meant to have stored up and placed in our heart. And this is throughout Scripture, not just in this place, that we are told this. In Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored your word up in my heart that I might not sin against you." The heart that we are meant to be guarding is one filled with God's word and his wisdom. How are you filling your heart? How are you nurturing that? Do you come here on a Sunday morning ready to be filled? Do you gather with others during your week who can speak God's wise words to you? Do you spend your own time pondering, praying, and communing with God? The heart we are meant to be guarding is to be filled with God's word. So we have a heart that is filled with God's word, and we are told to command it above all else. How do we do that? Throughout the Bible, we're taught that there's a direct connection between our heart and our behavior. As you look at the verses that follow on from verse 23, it talks directly towards our behavior. We are meant to be nourishing the new nature that is within us and starving the old behavior that our sin would guide us and have us do. We are meant to be pursuing righteousness. Verse 24. "Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech." We are warned to be guarding our speech. Verse 25. "Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you." We are warned to be guarding what our eyes are looking at. Verse 26. "Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path." We are warned to use our minds wisely. And finally, in verse 27, we are told not to get sidetracked and to keep our feet from following evil. We are told to guard our hearts from evil. We are to fill our hearts with God's words and wisdom, and unlike the maths that I tutor to some teenagers during the week, that's not meant to just remain head knowledge and help you pass NCEA level 3. God's wisdom is meant to be on your heart and lived out. We are to be, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, new creations. Excuse me for a second. My tablet's too big for this thing. Okay. So in Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, we are told to take God's truth into our hearts. We are then told to guard our hearts, which hold that truth, which bring forth life, in Proverbs 4, 23. And finally, we are told then to pay attention to the way we are living our lives in Proverbs 4, 24 to 27. This is the natural flow of what it means to be living and following Christ. The health of our hearts will determine the health of our relationship and behavior with Christ. In Luke 6, 45, Jesus says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So So what does it mean to guard your heart? It means you guard your identity in Christ. What is the heart in the Bible? The heart is the truest you. Your heart is the place where your identity is housed. And in Proverbs 27 it says, As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. So to guard your heart, you must guard your identity in Christ. And only when you guard your heart will you be able to live for God. Only when you choose to throw off your old nature and live for the new self will you be able to live for God's holiness. I think I've known this for a long time. I have been a Christian now for exactly half my life, I think, 17 years. And I've known this, and this is easy advice to take when life is going well. It's easy to live out and to guard my heart and to correct my speech and to do all of these things when life is seemingly joyful and easy. What it is not, and where I have learnt this lesson in the last 18 months, is that this wisdom is true even in my hardest of times. Even when I am struggling. And no one directly shared these verses to me, but the men and women who gathered around me spoke these truths into my life. And when I could not do these things for myself, they made sure that I was. There was a time where being in my Bible was difficult. There was a time when fellowshipping here on a Sunday morning was difficult. But I trusted that God was with me, and I trusted that His way is best. And there was a time where all I could read was Ephesians 3. And I would make sure that I got out. There's a bit of a joke at Backyard Cafe that I spend more time there than the staff. But I do work there, and there was a time where I just needed that community and those people, and I would go there, and this is what I would read. This is what I was filling my heart with. This is how I was keeping my heart tender and open to the leading of God. And it's Paul's prayer for spiritual growth, Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. And there is the advice we're given in Proverbs. Guarding your heart does not mean you protect yourself from getting hurt at all cost. What guarding your heart means is that you protect your heart from sin at all cost. Many times Proverbs 4:23 is used as a way of protecting ourselves or not fully loving others. Whenever you choose to love someone like Christ has loved you, there is always risk involved. There can't be real love without risk in our relationship training, we talk about how relationships are truly formed when I reveal myself to you and you reveal yourself to me. And that opens our hearts up. So yeah, wherever you allow yourself to be vulnerable with someone and wherever you genuinely begin to care about someone's well-being, you will be always opening yourself up to the possibility of being hurt. So I was filling my heart with those verses. I was fortunate enough to have men and women gathering alongside me, and when I couldn't read those verses for myself, they were speaking that truth and love to me, and they were filling my heart with the wisdom of God. And throughout the time over these 18 months, have there been moments when I've wanted to act out of hurt and on my sinful desire, that wisdom, those words stored up in my heart, have prompted me to act with my new nature and not my old nature. I didn't always get it right, but I'd like to think I'm learning that lesson well. And so last week you may have read the newsletter, and this is an example of when this really stuck out to me. And I wrote this at the time, and I sent this to my best friend, and then I thought I would write it last week in preparation for this week. This happened exactly like this. I came across a conversation online between two people. The conversation was mundane and not meant for me, but it hurt me deeply, and I couldn't unsee it, and so my hurt quickly turned to anger, and I wanted to respond. Many, many years ago, on an unrelated thing, I had been not so clever responding to things online. And I was fortunately enough that I'm surrounded, like I said, by men and women who will take care of me. It was a youth group thing. I posted something in retaliation because I was grumpy with the person. Carla pulled it down immediately, and so not really many people saw it. And Daryl had a heart-to-heart to me about how I had mucked up, and that I should be much more gracious towards the young person that was complaining about our ministry. So I'd learnt my lesson the hard way on this one. So I knew to slow down in the situation. So I stepped away, but my mind was still reeling with pointed jabs and sarcastic comments, neither of which would bring me any lasting peace, and both would cause much more harm than good. I was battling with my old self, and my heart was up for grabs. So alone in bed, feeling hurt and hopeless, I began repeating this prayer. Lord, give me the strength to do what I can't. Give me your spirit to love where I want to hate. Heal my heart, and please don't harden it. And then I did what every good millennial person does. I distracted myself with videos on YouTube and music, and I tried to fall asleep. I couldn't fall asleep. I repeated with videos and music on YouTube. And every time I had an unhelpful thought, I went back to that well of wisdom in my heart, and I repeated the prayer. It was a long night. I started to feel my heart physically aching in my chest, and I was really getting distressed. Why was God not easing my pain? Until I realized that this may be the answer to my prayer. And I said, Lord, thank you for my soft heart. It's a heart that will heal. A hard one, a hardened heart may feel better right now. Those jabs and that sinful barbs back would have felt really good. But it's not what God wants of me. So thank you. When I prayed that prayer, the tears poured down my face and I was able to fall asleep. A weight had been lifted. Proverbs 4, verse 23 has become a thing that I've cherished, a lesson that I've been learning in lots of different places. Like I said, there are young people who I've had the privilege to walk through, and we might not have directly talked about this, but I have seen them as young men and women of faith doing the hard thing for God because they know it is the right thing. And I've seen the healing that it has given them, and I've seen the healing that it's given their families, I'm tremendously proud that they have been able to do that. They teach me and demonstrate it to me. But we are meant to be men and women of faith who fill our heart with God's words and wisdom. We are then meant to vigilantly protect that so that we are able to love like Christ has loved us. My challenge to everyone here today is, will you guard your hearts? Because do you realize that the love and the life of Christ is dwelling within them if you let Him? Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much that your promises are true, that your word is good, and that it is the source of life. Please fill our hearts with your word and your wisdom. Help it to form our actions and our behavior so that we may be walking righteously, loving and caring for others. In your mighty name, amen.